Well, good morning. What a joy it is to be able to worship God with you this morning. Thank you for being here. And we pray that our time together will be time that honors God and brings us closer to one another and closer to Him. You ever been stolen from? Ever been robbed? How'd that feel? Probably not too good, especially if it was anything that you cared for that was very valuable to you. I saw this past week on a news report about stealing that goes on around the holiday season. This particular report had to do with how packages are delivered by, you know, delivery services, UPS or FedEx or something, and they're sometimes left on people's front porches. And there are actually people that go around and just take the packages off the front porches. The news report was showing this woman that had a trunk full of stuff, and then somebody else had a whole storage facility that they'd rented out to put all the stuff in that they'd stolen off of people's porches. One lady they showed on a video, they caught her on the video that apparently this home had of their porch. She walks up the sidewalk, gets the packages, takes them out and puts them in the back of her BMW. And it's just enough to nauseate you. So then this morning I'm having this conversation with Sandy and she says, "You know, I've ordered several gifts online, and these two gifts in particular, were supposed to be delivered. In fact, the company that I ordered them from says that they've been delivered, and I just think they've been stolen off our front porch." Now, that's when I got mad. You know, it's sickening enough to watch other people's things being stolen off their front porches. But I mean, when it comes to somebody stealing stuff off my front porch, that's when it hits home. Now, I'm not sure that that's what's happened, by the way. We sometimes lose things around our house. And so it might be that they came and we just don't know it. But in any case, that really turns your stomach, doesn't it? How do you think God feels? How do you think God would feel to be robbed from things that, something that is due to Him? In Romans chapter 2 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul asked this question, "You who abhor idols, do you rob temples?" And really what he's getting at is there's this hypocrisy that goes on where we look at those videos of, you know, the woman stealing the packages when she has a BMW to drive and just think how disgusting that is. But then look, let's turn it to our own lives. Are we robbing temples? And especially now, let's think about, are we robbing the temple, which is the church of God? That's the temple today, isn't it? Are we robbing it of things that God would want us to give and expects us to give? Go in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3, and I think many of you have heard sermons on this particular text before. The whole sermon won't be on this text this morning, but to make this initial point, you're aware of how Malachi, God speaking through him, condemns the people of his day, and he asks the question, will a man rob God? Would you dare rob God? That's really the question that's being asked. Do you have that much brass about you that you would rob God? Yet, he answers the question. He says, "Yet you have robbed me." You say, "Well, in what way have we robbed you? You know, we wouldn't do that. What are you talking about? We've robbed you, God." And the answer comes back in tithes and offerings. There were things that you were supposed to give me that you did not give me. And God says to these people, "You have robbed me." And so he says, "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." What a charge. What a charge to be leveled against the children of Israel. I want you to understand that God, of course, has given us everything that we have. He's given us life. He created us, put us here on this earth, blessed us in so many ways, as Jeremy even mentioned in his prayer this morning. And would we take this God who's given us life and breath and all things and have the temerity to rob Him? Does that not disgust you, just the thought of that? But it's worse than that, because when you look really at the context, God's just not talking to any old people. He's talking to His covenant people, His specially chosen people, the people that He made a covenant with to bless them through the seed of Abraham. He made a covenant with, He gave them a law to live by, to come to know Him by. He'd allowed them to offer sacrifices and come into His presence. The God that was their covenant God, who had blessed them, who had given them a land to live in, who had continually been with them over the centuries. And they're robbing from this God. That's who they're robbing from, with whom they've had this familial relationship. I want you to think for a minute. Could this text have been addressed to some of us, or to all of us, in this nation, in this church? Have we robbed God by not giving Him what He deserves? And that could apply to a lot of things. I'm going to apply it to the giving of our finances this morning, but it could apply to a lot of other things that He deserves from us. We are the people who not only have all of the blessings that the Israelites had, and not only all of those that all men have. You know, we've been created, we've been given life, we've been blessed in so many ways. But we're the people that Jesus was speaking about when He took that cup that evening and gave it to His disciples and said, "This is the new covenant in My blood, which is given for you." Would we rob Christ? That's the question. As we go through the lesson this morning, I want us to think about giving with a purpose. Giving to God's cause, purposefully and with a purpose. And contrast that a little bit as we go through the lesson with the problem that so often hinders us from doing that, and that is the problem of idolatry. And as I first introduced that subject matter to you, you're probably saying, "Well, what in the world are you talking about? You're talking about we're not giving to God, we're robbing from God because we're idolaters?" Yep, that's what I'm saying. And I want to show you how that might be true. I hope it's not true of all of us or any of us, but I think that it may be of some of us. Let's think about purposeful giving, first of all. Giving with a purpose. We need to have the mindset of a steward. Look with me in your Bibles, if you will, at Psalm 50. And notice in Psalm 50, and start reading in verse 8, Psalmist writes, "I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house nor goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God with thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High." I want you to get, you can read through that and maybe not get really what the Lord is saying there, perhaps, but what He's really saying is, you know what, all the stuff that you're giving to me, all of the things you're sacrificing for me, they're mine to begin with. He doesn't need this stuff because He's hungry, but because He's impoverished in some way. It all belongs to Him to begin with. We're not doing anything but giving Him what is His own, in essence. So when you think of it that way, it doesn't fully and truly belong to us. It's all His, and we're just using it. And so here's somebody who's great and powerful and wealthy, and he has so much, and he's given you a lot. And he comes to you and says, could I use that, you know, that thing that I gave you, that tool or that piece of machinery or that automobile or that home or that little bit of time or whatever. Could I use that for a few minutes?" And you say, no, you can't use that. That's mine now. Is that your attitude? Is that going to be my attitude? You see the problem? It's not really ours anyway. It's all God's. He just lent it to us. And when He says to us, "Now I need you to use this for me now," what would the attitude of a steward be? "Gladly. I see all of this is yours anyway. Whatever you want to do with whatever I've got, I'll gladly give it to you, have you use it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 26, the Apostle Paul said that the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. It all belongs to Him, and we are just stewards. And if we are not faithful stewards, it is truly like we are robbing God. When we give to the Lord for His cause and for His work and for what He wants done, we're really only giving not only what is rightfully His, but what is really His. Since we give to the Lord what truly comes from Him, the purpose of the giving is that we might glorify God in giving willingly. When the children of Israel gave so abundantly for the temple, it demonstrated their desire to glorify God, did it not? If you go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and again, here's a story that most of the good students of the Old Testament that we have here at Eastside are well aware of, but look at this with me again, where in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, let me read verses 6 through 9 first. When the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel and captains of thousands and hundreds and officers over the king's work offered willingly. So they're giving offerings to build the temple under the reign of Solomon. They gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents, 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord into the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. And the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David rejoiced greatly. And so here's this great offering that's being given. And then if you read down in verse 14, David asked the question. He said, "Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this?" Who are we that we get to give? That's his attitude. Who are we that we get to give like this? Because, you see what he says in the next phrase? "For all things come from you." David recognized that he was a steward. David recognized that in doing this, he wasn't giving something that God needed, God didn't have. He was just honoring God. His willingness and the people's willingness to give was just a way of honoring God. For he says, "For all things come from you, and of your own we have given to you." And in verse 16, "O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own." So the glory that is due God is demonstrated in our giving. In Psalm 96 and verse 8, the psalmist says, "Give to the Lord the glory that is due His name, and bring an offering, and come into His courts." Although we are to give as we have prospered, we need to understand that the main point is we're giving to glorify God, who's blessed us, who's made us stewards of all of these things. When you get an annual checkup from your doctor, you know, you go in there and you're laying on the exam table. He asks you how you're feeling. And you say, "Well, you know, I've got this little pain here or this little thing there." And he starts poking on you, pressing on you, hitting you with a hammer in places and things like that. You know, the little reflex test that they do. And he gets to that one spot and you go, "Oh, that hurts." When we start talking about giving and giving as stewards and giving liberally and giving to glorify God, and you're sitting there and you're starting to feel uncomfortable, is that a sore spot? If it's a sore spot, that probably means we've hit the problem area. And so if this sermon, as I go through the rest of it, if it causes you pain, There's something that needs to be done there. If money's a sore spot, it means that that area is weak. It's not supposed to hurt when we honor God. It should feel good. It should feel good to honor. To fail to use our possessions to glorify God is to rob Him. And that ought to be painful to Him and us. Another passage I want you to look at is found in the book of Ezekiel. And chapter 16. Let me read there verses 17 through 19 to you. Here's what the Lord says to the people of Ezekiel's day. He says, "You have also taken your beautiful jewelry from my gold and my silver, which I had given you, and made for yourself male images and played the harlot with them. You took your embroidered garments and covered them, and you set my oil and my incense before them. Also my food, which I gave you, the pastry of fine flour, oil, and honey, which I fed you, you set it before them as a sweet incense, and so it was, says the Lord God." What's being described? What's being described is God giving all of these blessings to people, the gold, the finery, the wonderful food. Sounds like what He's giving to us every day, right? All of these great things, and people using those things not to honor Him, not to glorify Him, not to be stewards of those things and use them for God's work and His purposes, but they're using those things for their own pleasures. And they made idols with these things, and they've sacrificed these things to idols, and they've offered these things to idols. And so instead of giving, you see the point? Instead of giving as they prospered, instead of giving as they should purpose to give, to glorify God, what they're doing is they're taking that money, they're robbing it from God, they're taking what is His and giving it to their idols. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about this choice between either purposeful giving or the price of idolatry. And the bottom line is sometimes, many times perhaps even, we don't give and we don't have that to give that we ought to have because we've already given it to our idol. Because we've already given it to our idol. That's serious business. You say, well, what are you talking about, idols? Well, idols can be a lot of different things. In our day and time, they're not images that purport to be gods that people bow down to, but they're material things. They're things in life that take away our attention and our focus from God. They're anything that replaces God in our heart. That's what an idol is. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul said that covetousness is idolatry. It's the wanting of things that we don't need for ourselves and for our own pleasures. In Ephesians 5 and verse 5, he said that a covetous man is an idolater. At this time of year, it occurs to me when a lot of people are thinking about gift giving, that what so much of the time, and this may indict me as much as anybody else, but we have all of this prosperity and we take what we have and we lavishly spend and give to those who really don't need it. Just be honest. When the Lord's work is underfunded, and you tell me, is Ezekiel describing us? I think it's a question we all need to ask ourselves. I'm privileged occasionally, well, just almost every week, to go in and sit on the last part of the elders' meeting so I can communicate with them a little bit and they with me regarding our mutual work together. And I can tell you that this much at least, that there's work that they would like to do and that needs to be done, and some that we've committed to in this past year that we're not going to be able to continue in the future year if something doesn't give. And by something, I mean you. But you're going to have to decide what's more important. Who our God really is. Purposeful giving versus the price of idolatry. Let's give with a purpose. Let's start that by giving something. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2. That's the wrong passage that's listed up there, but in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2, the well-known passage about giving, it's often read, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside. You start giving purposefully by giving something. You got to give something. You can't just let the collection plate roll by week after week when you have been prospered during that week and you just let it go by. You got to start by giving something. And I think most of us here understand that. We give something. But that's the place to start. There may be those who prosper and who God has blessed in a lot of different ways who give nothing. You need to consider what you're doing there. You're robbing God. If He's prospered you, you're giving Him nothing. Let's start by giving something. Let's start there. Secondly, we need to give that which is valuable to us. If it doesn't hurt, if it's of no value to you, if you could do with it or do without it, if it doesn't matter to you what you're putting in the collection plate, you're not putting in the collection plate what you ought to be putting in there. In 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 24, David, on that occasion when he numbered the people, the Lord had caused a great number of deaths as a result of that, and they ceased. David was going to offer a burnt offering, Arana or Ornan, depending on the version of it that you read, was willing to give David all of the implements to make the sacrifice with, and even the bull and whatnot to make the sacrifice. And David said, however, that he refused to offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which cost me nothing. If it doesn't cost me something, he's saying, if it's not valuable to me, I'm not going to give it. Is that our attitude, or we just give our leftovers? Do we just give our spare change? Do we just give that which doesn't really hurt us or is not of value to us? I tell you what, there are some, I think, who suffer from cirrhosis of the giver. We're just sick when it comes to giving. We're diseased. And here's what I'm talking about. Back in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 8, Malachi said, when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? When you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? If you take and give to God that, you know, well, this animal is sick. I know we don't offer sacrifices of animals today, but it's the same principle. You know, this money, I found this money on the street, so I'll throw that in the collection plate. But this was extra money that came in, so that's what I'll give her. This is what I have left over after I paid all my bills and, you know, ate out half a dozen times this week and went to the ball games and did all this recreation and bought my new music for my iPod and so on and so forth. And I've got all this stuff. Now here's what I've got left over. And okay, I've got everything else I want, so I'll throw that in. Try that attitude when it comes to paying your taxes and see how that works. Give it to your governor and see how he'd be happy with it. You know what I noticed about those who work in the work world, by and large, if you're employed by someone, the government wants the money out of your paycheck before you get your paycheck, don't they? You don't even see it. They just take it. Try giving your government the leftovers. That won't work. Paul Harvey, I used to love him. He news broadcaster and radio personality for so many years. He had a broadcast on November the 22nd of 1995 when he reported that the Butterball Turkey Company had set up a hotline. This is around Thanksgiving time, of course. Set up a hotline to answer consumer questions about holiday turkeys. And a lady called in and she said, "I've had this turkey in the freezer for 23 years. Had this turkey in the freezer for 23 years. Would it be okay to cook it and eat it?" And the operator, the answer was, "Well, if it's stayed frozen for that period of time, it will actually be okay to cook and eat, but it won't taste very good because it'll have freezer burn." And the response from the lady was, "Well, in that case, I'll just give it to my church." Is that the attitude? Now, at Eastside, we don't take turkeys as offerings, by the way. But is that the attitude? Let's give what is valuable. Let's give liberally. Paul talks so much about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "This I say, that he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." So there are several things here. Give cheerfully, give liberally, give purposefully, and that's what we're talking about. Have a purpose. You want to help the work of the Lord. These men that we're supporting in foreign fields and here in the United States that are working so diligently and so hard, often without things that they need, like supplies for classes and things like that. Let's keep the support up to them. Let's make sure that they have what they need and more than they need if we can supply it. Let's be sacrificial and purposeful in our giving so that we can do those kinds of things. That's what we're talking about when we say giving with a purpose and giving liberally so that those purposes might be accomplished. That's what we're talking about. Let's give as we've been prospered. And we can do that even though we may not have much. In this context, there in 2 Corinthians, of course, you have the verse in chapter 8 and verse 2, where Paul is very commendatory of the Macedonian Christians because he says, "In a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality." I love the Holy Spirit's use of words. Their deep poverty. They were in deep poverty. They just weren't poor. They were really poor. And it abounded, notice the contrast, in the riches of their liberality. They were the widow with the two mites in action. They didn't have much, but they wanted to give whatever they had. What an example. Now, God's not really necessarily even asking us to do that. He's just saying, give as you've been prospered. Give freely from that standpoint. I like what one man wrote about this particular point. When it comes to how much should I give, that's the question you're asking now, right? Well, how much should I be giving? And I like what he wrote in answer to that. He said, "I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spend." One of the greatest examples of giving in Scripture is found in the Old Testament. We read about how the giving went on for the temple. Back in Exodus, you have a description of the collection that was taken up, if you will, for the building of the tabernacle. God had commanded, the first thing that God told Moses when Moses went up on the mountain, the first thing God told him was to tell the people to take up a collection for the building of the tabernacle. Moses gets up on the mountain, chapter 25. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. You shall take up my offering." And this is the offering which you shall take from them, gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins, dyed red, badger skins, acacia wood, oil for light, all of this. He goes on and on and on. And the purpose of it in verse 8 is to make me a sanctuary. So you give, the very first thing he tells them is, I want them to give all of this so that I can have a sanctuary. Well, his sanctuary today, you notice we don't here at least call this the sanctuary, do we? This building is not the sanctuary. You are the sanctuary. The work that we do together, that's holy work, that's sanctified work. We are the sanctuary. We're giving for what God wants us to accomplish and what God wants to be accomplished in us and through us. I won't take the time to read all that could be read here, but when you go over to Exodus 35 and you see that the people do this, they bring all of this stuff that God has asked them to bring. And in fact, they bring so much of it that it was too much. There was such an overabundance of everything that they actually had to ask the people to stop giving. Now, that's a nice problem. I've never heard of a church that had that problem. Well, y'all are just giving so much, we just don't even know what to do. We can't find a place to use this. We can't find a place to use this profitably in the Lord's cause. So just stop giving. No. You ever heard of that? But that's what the children of Israel were told to do. They brought so much and so much, an overabundance of everything they had. Here's a little interesting fact that I don't know if you've ever considered, though. In between the command to bring this offering in Exodus 25 and the actual bringing of it in Exodus 35 and 36, something happened. Moses delayed to come down from the mountain. And instead of waiting for them to come down, they came to Aaron and said, make us a god. And Aaron said, well, I tell you what, break off the gold earrings that you got and gold jewelry that you got and you bring it to me. And he fashioned it into this gold calf. So here's all of the stuff that should have been eventually brought to give to God that was given to an idol. And Israel had to learn its lesson the hard way. That you can't do that and honor God. The same principle is the difference between giving with a purpose and giving to God or the price of our idolatry. It's the same choice. The key to all of this is, of course, giving ourselves to God. When we give our lives and ourselves and all that we are and have to Him, we'll give to Him liberally and freely and purposefully. But I want to warn you this. I want to warn you not to withhold from God what is due to Him. Because if you do, it will burn you alive. In the ancient Middle East, I have read that it was not completely unheard of for something like this to happen when a priest, whether it was of God's people or some of the nations around who offered animal sacrifices, might be offering a sacrifice of an animal on an altar when in the midst of it, an eagle would swoop down and grab it and take it. The problem is that on more than one occasion, apparently in some historical references, while the eagle could grab the top of the sacrifice, the bottom of it was hot and would often even have coals stuck to it. And so the eagle would grab that animal, whatever it was, carry it up to its nest to feed its young, set it in this nest of dried twigs, and guess what happened? Nest caught on fire. That's what happens when we rob God. keep it for yourself. You take what should be sacrificed to Him. It'll burn you up. Listen to what James says in James chapter 5. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded. And their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields you have kept back by fraud. They cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Here's people who, they've kept everything for themselves. The wages that they kept back from that they should have paid, that they should have given to their laborers. They cry out, those wages are going to burn them up. What about the things that they should have given to God? It's going to burn them up. If withholding from human laborers their fair wages will eat your flesh like fire, I guarantee you, withholding from God will do that. Destroy your life. We're going to go back now to the book of Malachi as we close the lesson this morning. And I thank you for your good attention. And I pray that you'll seriously think about what we've talked about. We're going to go back to the book of Malachi in chapter 3 again. But this time, look just a little bit earlier with me. Because the people in Malachi, like you do this morning, they knew what their responsibility really was. And I suppose when it was pointed out to them, they probably realized they weren't really doing what they should do when it came to giving. But the problem was that they were a little bit short on change. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? What's being pictured in this text is a changeless God begging his people to change their way. And their whole problem was they were short on change. They didn't want to change. And they didn't. They continued to rob God. Is that going to be us? After this lesson this morning, what are we going to do? God doesn't need your money. But He does want you. He wants you now. He wants you to give you yourself. Give Him yourself, I should say. And so He wants to have you for all eternity. This morning, if someone is willing to give their lives, their hearts to God, we'd ask you to make that commitment. Come forward, give me your hand and God your heart, confess the name of Jesus, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins. There's no better time. We'd ask you to come while we stand and sing.